Hey there, everyone. Welcome to Holy Man, a journey of becoming godly men. No matter if we are sons or husbands, dads, grandfathers, or just any regular guy out there, we are going to try to figure out how God would want us to live on this journey called life. None of us have it all figured out. So let's dig into God's Word and wrestle with God's Word as we try to become who God created us to be, specifically, holy men. Hey there, men. It is good to be with you. This is episode 60. Made it to, wow, that's a long journey, hasn't it been, guys? And I know there's still a few of you ladies that listen once in a while out there. It is good to be with all of you. And what a great run this has been. I don't know if or when I'll be back. This is the end of this semester, and we're trying to figure out what we're going to look like going into next semester with life groups and podcasts and all those things. We're always trying to keep things fresh and do things new and different. So we'll see. So stay tuned for that. But for today, we're in episode 60. So this is the last chapter, last time that we're going to be talking about Gene Getz's book, The Measure of a Man, 20 Attributes of a Godly Man. And man, what I know, just the other day, I had a life group with mine talking about, I think it was episode 58 that we were on at the time. And wow, what a discussion. I didn't think it was going to be that big of a deal, but man, it certainly was. And we had a great discussion. It was a powerful time. And as we just looked at God and a God who is just and what that means for us. And so just powerful time. We find ourselves looking at these attributes that Paul shared with young Timothy and Titus as they were aspiring to be church leaders and leading others towards being church leaders. And just as the body of Christ, what we all should be looking for. And so we find ourselves now in this last week, and as we come to a close, we find Paul sharing, after we looked at all of these different attributes and all these different ways that we should be growing in our faith and allowing the Holy Spirit to transform the way we think about things, he comes to this last one. It's so important. It's the Greek word is ekrate, I think is how you pronounce it, but it's the idea of being self-controlled or disciplined. It's the idea of keeping your body and your life under control on a regular basis so that you can stay on course. And that can be in anything in life, you know, depending on what your course is that you're on. You know, if you're on the journey towards being a doctor, well, you got to be disciplined in studying and learning and all of those different pieces and practicing, you know, being a doctor. So you can get to that point where you get the white coat and you're a doctor, you know, so you need to be disciplined, and self-controlled and keep doing the work that's necessary so you can become that. Well, Paul, of course, is relating this to our walk of faith and the idea that we need to be disciplined. We need to, instead of getting off of course, instead of getting out of the way, off of the way of Christ, we stay on that way. We stay on the course with Christ. You know, truthfully, we are all disciplined in something. We all have habits, don't we? I mean, just think about that. We, what are some of the habits that you have? We have all kinds of habits. Some of us are intentionally disciplined in some way. For certain reasons, you know, whatever that reason might be, some of us are more methodical in carrying out certain things in our lives, but we all have habits. Some of them are good, some of them are not good. You know, being disciplined can be a good thing or it can be a very bad thing. there are many of us men who are very disciplined in the bad habits of life that keep our life off course from following Christ. You know, just think of some of the things that are opposite or different than what some of these attributes that we talked about, you know, just for instance, in our generation, you know, the internet is so littered with things that can draw us away from God. For men these days, internet porn is such a huge thing that can distract us. And some of you have the habits of regularly being there. Substance abuse, of course, is something that can very easily get us off course and distract us from following Jesus. Too much 24-hour news that can mess with our brains and get us off course. Some of us can't stop eating potato chips or brownies or whatever your unhealthy snack is. You know, it can cause our bodies to get out of whack and keep us from fully following Jesus. Yeah, it doesn't mean you can't eat a snack. It doesn't mean you can't, but sometimes we over. Yeah. Habits are hard to stop, hard to change, hard to add to. You know, to start up a new habit is certainly not an easy thing to do. Yeah, I remember back. This was a few years ago, but I remember when seatbelts were first introduced as a law. It was so hard for my dad to jump on board with that, even though it was proven that it could save lives. And my dad was a fireman who had been to many accidents where people were hurt because of not wearing seatbelts. So he believed that they were good for us, but he still struggled when he got in. He just wasn't in that habit. He didn't have the discipline of just putting it on, no matter whether he was driving or in the passenger seat. It just wasn't part of his habitual DNA. You know, some of us all have really good habits. Some of those habits you have had for many years, like, for instance, brushing your teeth. You know, it's something we hopefully learn as a kid and we just keep practicing it, and it's good to keep us having good, healthy teeth. Some of us are very intentional and regular with some of these habits that are good for us. Now, as we consider what Paul is sharing with Timothy and Titus, you know, I think he has something slightly different than brushing our teeth in mind. Not that he would say that that's a bad thing, but I think he is thinking about all of those other attributes that we have talked about for this journey of Measure of a Man. If we are to be under control and intentional in all of those attributes, then Paul is sharing that we need to be disciplined or staying focused on Jesus and living the Jesus life. An easy way to get a handle on this is simply to watch Jesus, or should I say read Jesus. You know, when we read through the Gospels, all four of them, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see the life of Jesus, and we can watch the consistency of Jesus doing. Now, unfortunately, we don't see every minute of his life in all of those Gospel messages. Wouldn't it be great to have seen that? Because I think if we did, we would see a very disciplined Jesus in doing the things that are going to easily keep him focused on his Father's will. That's what he was about, staying focused on living the will of his Father. And to do that with all of the same distractions of life that we have, Jesus needed to stay focused and stay disciplined. We see Jesus show us a disciplined life all throughout those Gospels. We don't see every minute of his days, but we see the writer show us the consistency of that disciplined life. For instance, he regularly goes off to pray. He regularly is in the Word. You know, even though he wrote the Word as God, he regularly is in the Word. he regularly hangs out with his life group, called his disciples, of course. He regularly serves others. He regularly disciplined, celebrates the big feasts. He's regularly in the synagogue, whether in worship and spending time digging into God's word. So Jesus lives on mission. He lives his life on mission to stay focused and to stay within the will of the Father. He keeps his eyes on the Father and his will. And we also can learn from other writings of Paul, besides the one we see here in Timothy and Titus. And when we get into our life groups this week, I'm going to have you guys look at another passage in 1 Timothy where Paul is talking about sharing, helping Timothy to better understand how to be disciplined in his walk. It's a great passage that you guys are going to look at. But as we look at other writings that Paul shares, there's many different places where Paul shares this understanding that we need to press on, that we need to stay focused, that we need to keep going the life of Christ. For instance, when he was writing to the church in Corinth, he shares a great passage. You know, and Paul, I think he was a sports fan. He had to have been, because he shares the sports ideas into many of his writings. And here's one of those places where he shares this understanding of an athlete being disciplined in their training to be a great athlete. And he shares how it plays right into our walk of faith in our spiritual journey. So we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 24, where Paul says this: "Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win." Paul says we should be about winning. And he's sharing this analogy of running a race, and he's going to apply that now to our faith journey. Well, we should not be on a faith journey to lose. We want to win. And to win means we are regularly spending time following Jesus. So he says, so run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. We know that, right? If you've ever been in any kind of sport, you know that you needed to be disciplined to be good, to be able to win. He continues, he says, they do it to win a prize that will fade away. And we get that, right? Anybody still have any trophies around on your shelves? I used to have a bunch of trophies from all the different sports I played in, baseball and basketball and cross country. I had a bunch of different trophies. I won a bunch of competitions, played basketball too. So we win, we get these trophies, we get these ribbons, whatever they are that we got, but slowly they dissipate. As if you move from one house to another, well, some things just got to go. Now, sometimes we keep a few of those trophies, we keep them up there, but they get dusty, they get dirty, and we lose sight of them. They do it, those athletes, they do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we do it, Paul says, for an eternal prize. We're on our spiritual journey. We're running this race of chasing after, getting to know and following Christ to get an eternal prize. So what does Paul say? So I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I might myself be disqualified. Paul says, I need to work hard. I need to be disciplined, beating my body, training my body so that I can run the race of walking with Christ, of being on the journey with Christ in a way that blesses my life. What blesses my life? But being regularly in the presence of God, being regularly on a journey, being on mission with the Father. The same thing as Jesus. We want to be within the will of the Father because that's where we find the blessed life. Even when life smacks us, even when life is hard, even when life is coming against us, when we're facing those hard moments of life, especially then if we are disciplined in doing the things that Jesus showed us to be within the will of the Father, man, life is going to be good. It's going to be that eternal blessed life, not just then and there, but here and now as well. We got to stay focused. We got to keep our eyes on Jesus. You know, we look at all those heroes of faith. You know, you jump into Hebrews chapter 11 and 12, and we find, you know, that passage that talks about all those different heroes of faith, Abraham and David and Boaz and all these different characters that we find throughout the scriptures. And they all walked in faith, it says. They walked in trusting God with their lives. And because of that, they lived a life of faith. They were men and women after God's own heart. And then it jumps into chapter 12, and it says, since we are surrounded with such a great cloud of witnesses, those people who showed us what a disciplined life of faith can look like, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us cast off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run the race with perseverance, the race set before us, and let us keep our eyes on Christ Jesus, the hero and defender of our faith. Paul shares us this image of all of those others who, they didn't get it right. They had ups and downs. They had struggles. They were still sinful. But yet, they showed the perseverance of even when they were in those tough times of life, when they maybe got distracted by some part of life, they still came back and said, I'm going to follow God. I'm going to keep putting my trust in God. They were disciplined to keep coming back, to keep their eyes on God so that they could continue to live the life. So guys, what are you going to do? You know, we have all of these different attributes that we talked about. The semesters before that, we talked about all those different lies that Satan tries to put in front of us, that try to distract us and lead us away from following Jesus. We had all those different sessions of the Holy Man podcast that we try to help us, try to get our eyes on Jesus. You know, you're not a disciple of Pastor Paul. You're a disciple of Jesus. You keep your eyes on Jesus. You keep following Jesus. You keep doing what he has given to us, the gift of prayer, the gift of his word, the gift of serving, the gift of getting together with other men and other ladies in life groups, not in a ladies life group, but in a couples life group. You know, you have all these different opportunities continue in your walk with God. You come on Sunday mornings regularly to worship. You jump on podcasts. You read extra books that are going to help you to better understand what Jesus is all about. You do all of those things on a disciplined basis, on a regular basis, with good habits that lead you towards Jesus and not away from Jesus. You do the things that are necessary to train yourself. Your physical body, your mental body, your emotional body, your spiritual body. Every single part of your life, you keep your eyes focused on Jesus so that you can find yourself within the will of the Father and so that you can find yourself in the eternal blessed life each and every day. Guys, it's not easy. I'm not going to try to snowball you and say, it's easy. Just do it. No, it's not, because Satan is good at his job. His cohorts hate this podcast. They hate us getting in our life groups. They hate us coming on Sunday mornings to worship. They hate us being on mission with Jesus. And they are going to do everything they can to distract us and to pull us off course, to keep us away from following Jesus. Guys, they hate us when we're walking with Jesus. We are in a spiritual battle. But here's the good news. Jesus says, I've already overcome. The Holy Spirit is given as a gift, and the gift is there to help us to take what we give it through our disciplined life. He takes it and he writes it on our hearts so that we can keep focused and living the life that God has placed in front of us. So guys, Paul shares this last word with us, this last attribute, because it's so important. It helps us to get all of the attributes in order. It helps us to keep those attributes growing in our lives. This is one that is so important. It's not as important as that middle one, which is the self-willed, selfish one, or selfless one. That's the heart of it. But it's so hard to be selfless if we're not going to be disciplined in chasing after Jesus, at keeping our eyes on Jesus. Being disciplined in our walk with Christ is so important. Creating those habits, allowing the Holy Spirit to help us create those habits that are going to take us away from those bad habits and into creating good habits that are going to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. So guys, as we come to the end of this journey, for this semester for sure, and who knows, maybe the end of the Holy Man podcast, we'll see. What do I leave you with? Know him more. The guys in my life group have heard me say that many times. It's what a great mentor of mine taught me when I was growing, when I was a young Timothy, when I was early in my faith journey, early in my learning how to be a pastor journey. He said, you gotta know him more. You got to chase after him, seek after him, read after him, long for him, pray after him, do everything you can to know Jesus more. And then the more you know about him, the more you know him personally, then you trust him more. He shows you the way to live. Trust him with your life. Surrender your life to him, so that he, by the power of the Holy Spirit, can transform the way you think and show you the better way to live. And you rely on that Holy Spirit who is in you, he is with you, he is for you, he is leading you, and he is guiding you. And you know, when you mess up, not if you mess up, but when you mess up, when you accidentally, or whether you intentionally, whether you allow Satan and his cohorts to distract you and take you off course, jump back on, ask for forgiveness. God is there with grace saying, you're forgiven. I love you. Welcome back. Unconditional love flows upon you. And he says, let's keep going together, not alone. It's a journey. Guys, do life together. Keep with iron sharpening iron. Keep on the journey of faith together, guys. Don't try to go it alone. Find some brothers, find some sisters that you can walk this journey together and bless each other by holding each other accountable, by encouraging one another and pushing one another to keep your eyes focused on the disciplined life that leads you to a life with Christ. Guys, it's a journey. Always has been, always will be. It's a journey that God calls us to be people of holiness. He shows us the way. He gives us the example. He teaches us how. And then he invites us to come as we are. No matter how far along you are in the journey, or maybe you're so far off the journey, you're like, how could God ever love me? He says, come as you are. And I will help you become who God created you to be. God's going to do that. As we surrender to him, he changes us from the inside out, and we keep our eyes focused and we keep living the disciplined life with others as the body of Christ. We come together, and as we walk together, God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, changes and transforms us as we live that disciplined life. It's a journey, guys. What a blessed journey it is. Thank you, Jesus, for showing us the way. Thank you, Jesus, for providing the way. The gift of eternal life that comes through your salvation, through your work on the cross, taking our place, dying our death, paying our price. Lord Jesus, thank you that as we surrender our lives to you, you give us the Holy Spirit to transform us and change us. Thank you, Jesus, that you help us on this journey. Help all of these men who have been with me on the journey, and the ladies too, as we continue, as we keep going on the journey of becoming holy men. Guys, it has been a pleasure. Great being with you. Have a great day.